Today on our religious calendar marks what many would term a holy day. It's commonly referred to as Palm Sunday. This morning, as we opened up our service, we read from Matthew 21, and then we even sang a portion of that through our song service today. That passage there reminds us of the details that surrounded what we commonly call the triumphal entry of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in those words, as the people there saw him coming into Jerusalem, they cried with a shout, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" To many of the Jews, they saw one who would come and liberate them from the oppression of a foreign nation. Yet in the plan of Almighty God, the Son of David came that he might free his people, including all mankind, from the bondage and the oppression of sin. Many on that day who stood and shouted Hosanna had no idea what would transpire in the week to come. Those who would stand there at the beginning of the week and lay their garments before them and cut down the palm branches and strew them in the path would no doubt later cry and heap their scorn upon him and demand that he be crucified. This morning, as we come to the study of God's Word, we're going to return again to the book of 1 John and the third chapter. 1 John chapter 3. In the providence of God, as he's directed our study, we find ourselves this morning considering the first three verses of 1 John chapter 3. And as we do so this morning, we find the theme of the love of our God. In 1 John chapter 3, as John begins to unfold the blessing of our sonship, he helps us that we might be able to grasp the immensity of the Father's love. Follow along as I read this morning those three verses together. John writes and says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." This morning our message is simply entitled, "What Manner of Love?" And I trust that we'll see and comprehend the immensity of the love of God. Let's pray together and then we'll consider the verses before us this morning. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to come and study this passage of Scripture on this Lord's Day. We thank you that our Savior came. We thank you that he gave his life upon the cross of Calvary. We thank you that he rose again, and he today is living for us. We thank you, Father, that because of that, we have been made sons of God, all who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been given the privilege and the blessing of sonship. And with that, we've been given the blessing and privilege of fellowship with the Father and with Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, I pray this morning that as we consider together these few verses, that you would, even as John is, overwhelm us with the wonderful blessing of your love. And Father, if there's one here this morning that's never received that love, that's never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, then Father, I pray today that you would open their eyes to see that love for them. And Father, I pray today that they would respond to that love. For Father, all of us here who have been saved can say, as John said later in this book, we love him because he first loved us. So Father, we ask and pray that you would help us to learn more of the God of love and the wondrous love that he has given. Well, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And John, as you know, has been trying to impress upon those to whom he loved the tremendous blessing and the opportunity that's afforded to all believers to have a fellowship with God the Father and with the Lord Jesus Christ. He desires that we all would understand the value of that close communion, that fellowship with the Father, that fellowship and communion with Jesus Christ. We know now that that fellowship is afforded to us because, as John says in chapter 2, verse 29, if we know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. You and I have the blessing and the opportunity of fellowship because you and I have been afforded the opportunity of sonship. We are the sons of God, saved by his grace. And because we are saved, John wants us to see and understand the blessing of that fellowship in relation to our sonship. As we now turn our attention to these three verses, we find that John, in essence, is bursting at the seams as he begins to declare for us now, in the second part of this book, the love of God. The first two chapters deal with the fact that God is light. But John, beginning here in chapter 3, is going to begin to share with us the wonderful truth that God is not only a God who is holy, a God of light, but he is a God of love. And John seems to be bursting from the seams, wanting to begin to be able to say the wonderful love of Almighty God. That love which caused him to send his only begotten Son into the world, that he, the Son, might give his life a sacrifice for us, that mankind would be redeemed from sin. Now, as you and I begin to consider the love of God, I think we begin, the longer we've been saved, the more that we contemplate such a theme. And as John would even begin to share with us, as he has thought on these things for many years, that love is beyond our human comprehension. However, in this passage, John wants to give us some thoughts, and he wants to direct our thoughts to this amazing, this wonderful love. And he wants to give us some truth concerning the nature of God's love. And this morning I want you to see with me six things concerning the nature of God's love. I want you to begin with me in verse 1. And I want you to see the first part. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. As we begin to unfold the nature of God's love, I want you to understand with me, as John's going to point out to us, the supreme nature of God's love. As you and I begin to understand the very love of God, as we begin to seek to have some form of comprehension of what it means that God so loved you and I, what we begin to understand is, first of all, that the nature of God's love is supreme above all other forms of love. There is no love like the love of God. So John begins and says, behold, what manner of love? John's pointing to the fact that his love is supreme. As we make this transition in the letter of John, we find John breaking forth in rapturous joy. He commands us to look, to see, to behold the love of God. That's what the term there, behold, is. It's actually written in the imperative. It's a command for us. What John is saying is, in the midst of everything else that is going on in your life, today I want you to stop. I want you to look and I want you to see. I want you to behold what manner of love the Father bestowed upon you. John is overwhelmed by the supremacy of this love. And certainly the love of God is far superior to the love of man. In fact, the words that we find there, what manner of love. Those two terms, what manner of love, are used in the original in the context to describe another country, one that is far into our own. So what John is saying, I want you to behold the manner of that love. It is different from what we know. It is different from what we are used to. It is foreign to us. It is peculiar to man. It is beyond our normal comprehension. What manner of love the Father bestowed upon us. Beloved, as you and I consider this morning the love of God, I wonder if we have taken the time to allow that thought to truly sink within our own hearts. His love is not like any other love. His love is far beyond all love. A love that you and I can comprehend, a human love, to us seems to be simple to understand. Yet when you try to compare that to the love of God, we find just how wonderful, how marvelous the love of God really is. That it is really supreme above all other forms of love. The fact that God the Father in eternity past, in conjunction with God the Son, decided that they would provide for sinful man a way of redemption. For God so loved the world that He gave His Son. Truly His love is supreme above our love, and we ought to stop in the business of life to look, behold the manner of love. There is no love like the love of God for mankind. I wonder when the last time is that you stopped and you considered the love of our God. We were talking this morning in our youth Sunday school class about the reality that we as God's people ought to walk in love from Ephesians chapter 5. I asked the young people this question this morning, and I wanted to try to share it with you to help us to see and understand. What did your parents do to ever deserve your love? And at the heart of that question is this answer. They loved you first. Why do we love, humanly, those that we were born to? We didn't choose them. There's nothing in them that makes them special above everybody else. So why do we naturally love them? Because they first loved us. Folks, we love God not because we have done something in and of ourselves. We love Him because He first loved us. He chose to love us even when we were unlovely. And folks, that's what makes that love so special and so far superior than all other forms of love. But I want you to notice that it's not only a supreme nature of God's love. I want you to see the selfless nature of God's love. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. I want you to look at the next two words after the word manner, the Father. Behold, what manner the Father hath bestowed upon us. Where did that wondrous love originate? Where did it come from? John reminds us that the love that you and I have received originated in the heart of God the Father. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. The love that you and I experience is because God loved you and He loved me. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. This love that you and I are the beneficiaries of originated in the very heart of God. Our love, the love of man, responds to that which is attractive, to that which is appealing. Human love, by nature, tends to be selfish, focused on how that love we share benefits us. You say, well, I don't know that that's true. Then, folks, why is it that God would say to the husband, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church? And the admonition there is, give your life sacrifice for her. You know why he commands us to do that? Because it's not natural to us to give ourselves in that way. We tend to think about love as we will give love to that which loves us, that which is attractive to us, that which benefits us. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The love that you and I have received from God originates in his heart. It is not because we and of ourselves were attractive, we were lovely. It's not because we loved him first, but he chose to love us in our sinful state. God so loved the world that he gave. How could God love you and I in such a wretched state? Sinful as we were. John's going to say in 1 John 4:8, because God is love. Selflessness and the selfless nature of God's love. He loved us when we were undeserving of any love. That's what makes it supreme above all other forms of love. But continue on. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. The next thing that we find, the third thing that we find, is the sacrificial nature of God's love. He hath bestowed this love upon us. Again, we mentioned John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Because he loved you and me, God acted upon that love. He gave up all that he had in order that you and I might be redeemed. You know, as you go on a little further in 1 John chapter 3, we find another 3:16 passage of John. And it's just as precious as John 3:16. Look at 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. The sacrificial nature of God's love. John declares to us that God gave for us that we might be redeemed. God gave his only begotten Son. We perceive the love of God in that he laid down his life for us. In John 15, verse 13, the Lord Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. Folks, if we begin to comprehend and see the wonderful love of God, we understand that it is supreme above all else. It is selfless in its nature. And it is sacrificial. No wonder John begins this section by saying, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. And certainly you and I this morning ought to be filled with the same joy for the wonderful love of Almighty God. This is a week within our religious calendar that we remember that Jesus came for the purpose that he might die. Friday we'll gather for Good Friday. We'll remember the final words that the Savior will speak from the cross. We'll remember the fact that he has paid it all, and all to him we owe. He died upon the cruel cross, and there he shed his blood that we might be redeemed. On Sunday we'll rejoice together in that he's a risen Savior. He lives. He had conquered sin and he had conquered death. But we can go through this week, as many will, throughout the religious calendar, and they were focused simply on the events. There will be more today who will talk about palm branches than they will about the King who came. There are more who will talk about the events of the stone being rolled away than the fact that Jesus Christ is risen again.
There's a lot of folks who know the detail of this week within our religious calendar, but do we truly comprehend the wonderful love of God? John said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us." But it doesn't end there. He continues, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." The next thing I want you to see with me is the supplying nature of God's love. The supplying nature of God's love. That we should be called the sons of God. So I was doing my reading this week. Many of the commentators added a few words to the end of that phrase. And I think rightfully so. They add these words, "and we are." Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, and we are. And that's going to be borne out in verse 2, where John says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." The passage declares a certainty. John's not saying that we're given a title, but he's talking about the reality. We are the sons of God. Through His love and through His sacrifice, by His redemption, we are now called the sons of God. We are able to be called the sons of God, and that has been supplied to us because of a supreme, selfless love through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Our every need is supplied. The Apostle John in his gospel reminds us in chapter 1 and verse 12, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." What a wonderful blessing it is to know that because of belief on the Lord Jesus Christ, we're the sons of God. The reason that's so special, folks, is when you consider that in light of what Paul teaches us in Ephesians chapter 2. That we were dead in trespasses and sins, and were by nature the children of wrath. Every person born in this world is born into a family. Born into a spiritual family. We are at that point by nature children of wrath. Why? Because we're sinners. God is a holy God who cannot look upon iniquity. All we like sheep went astray. We turned everyone to our own way, but the Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. We're all sinners. We're all deserving of death. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's not one of us here that could say we're not worthy of it. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. By nature, we were the children of wrath. But as many as believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, He gives the power that we can be called the sons of God. And if you by faith have trusted Jesus Christ, you are to marvel today at the wonderful love of God that supplied for your every need, that you now can be called a son of God and all the blessing and privileges that come with that sonship. Because you're a son of God, the Bible says, "Come boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy and help in time of need." I have access to the very throne of God. I have a Spirit of God who lives within me, who guides me in the truth, who teaches me in the way that I ought to live, who convicts me when I sin. When I don't even know how to pray, He meets my needs and He takes all of my groanings which cannot be uttered and lays them before the feet of Almighty God. All the promises of the Word of God, written for the believer, are mine, and I can lay hold of them because I'm a son of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called
the sons of God. Notice the last phrase. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. That speaks to the separating nature of God's love. Because I've been redeemed, because I'm a son of God, John says the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. The phrase reminds me that I am no longer in close relationship with this world. There is no intimacy with them, no love, no affection. And the reason is because I'm now a son of God. The world did not love him, nor will they in turn love us. See, the love of God makes us distinct. It sets us apart. We are no longer part of the same family as the lost. We belong to the family of God. And there is a great bind in family love. In family love, when push comes to shove, we stand with and we stand by our families. We support our family. Why? Because we're family. There's a love and a bind that is deep there. The same is true. We are now sons of God. The world has no love, no affection for you, because it has no love nor affection for him, the God that we love. In fact, John is going to draw out again the next time that we take up the study, the importance of loving one another. As we consider our sonship, we must again consider the importance of loving one another. By the way, this separation that the love of God brings shouldn't be a bother to you and me. If it is, if it bothers you that God's love separates you from the world, you may want to evaluate and see if you've ever been separated by that love. Because it really doesn't bother us that we're distinct and set apart because God loves us and he cares for us. By its very nature, the love of God separates us from the world. But here's the blessing. Romans 8 reminds us that nothing separates us from the love of God. We're part of his family. We're sons of God. In verse 2 and 3, we come to our final thought this morning, and that is this, the sanctifying nature of God's love. Look at verse 2 and 3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. And God's love by nature sanctifies. Again, in verse 2, John reminds us, makes reference to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ and how precious a thought it is that Jesus Christ is coming again. And folks, it may be very soon that he'll return. Yet if you and I really lived with the thought that Jesus Christ is coming again, John said it would purify our lives. It would change the way that we live. And it would. If you and I believe truly within our heart that Jesus Christ is coming again and he may appear even today, would that thought not change the way that you live? Would that thought not change the way that you love one another? Would it not change everything about you? Folks, we know that it would. A child knowing that their parents are arriving will scramble to get everything done that was supposed to be done that they refused to do in the hours preceding. Like clean the room and do all the dishes. They will scramble to get it done. Why? Because the hour's drawing nigh. Mom and Dad are coming through that front door. You say, I don't know if that's really true. Then you have forgotten what childhood was like because you did it and so did I. What time? 10 o'clock. Oh, 9:50. Do the dishes. Why? because you know they're coming through that door. And you better be ready, prepared. It changed the way that you thought and lived and acted. Folks, Jesus Christ could come at any moment. His appearing draweth nigh. And when we understand that in love He came and saved us, and in love He is going to call us home, will that not change the way that we live? John said, every man that hath his hope purifieth himself, even as he is pure. It ought to change the way that we live. It ought to change the way that we love. Although you and I may not fully understand all that God intends for us to be, we know that one day, when we see Him, we will be like Him. Our blessing today is that we can be more like Jesus, conformed to His image a little more every day. Why? What's our motivation? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. The wonderful love of God. Beloved, I trust that you'll take some time, even throughout this day, throughout this week, to consider the nature of God's love, how precious it is. God, in selfless love, gave His only begotten Son. He then made Himself of no reputation, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And in doing so, He supplied for our every need of redemption, calling us unto Himself, separating us from this world and the wrath to come. In His love, He now wants to sanctify you and me and make us more like Jesus Christ. Is there any greater love than that? Behold, what manner of love. Let's pray.